Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
But the question is, what is humility? And that's what we're going to talk about. Humility, more than anything, is when we are broken of our human spirit. When we no longer think that we can do it ourselves. When we are convinced that unless God leads us, guides us, strengthens us, we don't have any strength whatsoever. And the more humble a person is, the more dependent he is upon the strength and the guidance of God, and the less trust he puts in himself. So to be the humblest person on the earth is to be the most dependent and neediest and weakest person on the earth. And let me just say this, most of us are nowhere close. Most of us feel still as Christians that we can do a lot. We have a lot of strength. We can accomplish things. And it's not to that place where we finally realize that there's nothing in us. We can do nothing. So let's look at the first definition of this greatest virtue of humility. Because God wants to dwell with the humble. I used this scripture, I think, last week. All these things my hand has made, speaking of the universe, speaking of everything that is in it. So, he says, so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. Remember, they were trying to build a temple for him. And he was saying, wait a second, I'm not going to dwell in a temple. That's not really what I want, brick, mortar, all that. He says, but this one to whom I will look. The word I will look is the word I will esteem. I will look to this person. I will esteem this person. I will dwell with this person. In other words, if you want to know who I want to hang out with, if you want to know who I want to permanently take up residence with, this is the person. The person who is humble, that is to say, very weak in his human spirit, and the one who is contrite in spirit, that is to say, the one who has become convinced that there is nothing within him that is worth anything. And he trembles at my word. He has no will or plan of his own. The only plan he cares about is my plan, my will, my word. This is the essence of humility. All of us, when we got saved, were like wild horses. We were bucking. We were desirous to do what we wanted to do when we wanted to do it. And what God does when he saves us is he corrals us, he lassos us, he brings us in, and now he's got this job. Listen to me, everybody. What he's got this job is he's got to break you of yourself. He's got to break you of anything that you have that is independent of him. See, remember, the yoking is this thing that is put over you. God is walking this way, and he is trying to teach you to be humble and lowly enough that you are not going to want to go in this direction or go in that direction, but that you are like an animal who is so broken that you look at the lead animal, which is your father, your heavenly father. He takes a step, you take a step. He takes another step. In other words, you as that yoked animal with this stronger animal, every step he takes, you just do it in unison. They say when a horse is completely broken and is totally submissive, that you can actually take thread, put it around his bridle, and you could actually lead him and guide him with thread. In other words, you make the slightest tug on that thread, the horse recognizes there's a little bit of tugging, and he goes in that direction. And he never does anything in his own initiative, but he always waits for the tugging, to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right. Humility is when we get to the place where we have no passion, no desire, but we're waiting for the tug here, tug there, but we are totally broken. Did Jesus have this in himself? Yes. Did other men have this in themselves? Yes. The Bible says of Moses that he was exceedingly meek. The word meek is the same word we get humble or low from, and he was humbler than any man that walked on the earth. In other words, when God wanted to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, he found a man that had no will of his own. Listen to me very closely. Did Moses at one point have a strong human spirit? Remember, God showed him early on that he was going to deliver the people out of bondage. And what did Moses do? He tried to do it in his own strength. He went out there and he tried to release the Israelites from captivity by his own power and his own strength. He actually killed a couple guards in the process. God had to break him for 40 years. 40 years it took him to break Moses. In the desert. And that's where God breaks you. He breaks you in the desert. And after that 40 years of breaking, then God says, now you're a totally broken man. Now you'll do whatever I tell you to do. If I tell you to do this, you'll do this. And that's what I need. I need somebody who's going to obey me. And that's what Moses eventually became. And let me just say this to you. That's what God's trying to do in you. Will you ever reach it? Can I say something to you? The majority of us will never even come close. What I'm preaching to you today is what I call Christianity 505. It is perhaps the highest level. Humility is the greatest virtue. It is what is required for greatness in the kingdom of God. Total, unconditioned obedience to His purposes. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And what He's saying is, you've got to learn from me. You've got to watch how I walk under this yoke. I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart. The only way you're going to take my yoke and walk the way I walk is you've got to learn how I do it. How did I do it? Look at me. Watch me. See how I responded to my Father. How did Jesus respond to His Father? He tells us. Listen. Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of what? Even death. Even death on the cross. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He knew He was facing the cross. He gets down on His hands and knees and He said this. The most amazing words. He said, Father, if there be another way, if there is any other way that I can escape this, please let this cup of suffering pass from me. But then He said, nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. There was no conflict in deity there. He was saying, in my humanness, I don't want to do this, but I want to be totally obedient to Your will. And let me just say this, in your Christian life, God over and over and over again will make you face stuff you don't want to do. He'll tell you to do stuff that you don't want to do. He'll lead you to places you don't want to go. And He's going to break you of your own independent self. Even Jesus needed to be broken. And here's the question. How does God break you of yourself? You want to see how He does it? You're not going to like it. Although He was a son, meaning Jesus, He learned obedience through suffering. How does God break the horse? How does God get that ox to walk in step? He makes you suffer. How do you suffer? You go out and do your thing, and boom, it's a disaster. You do your thing again, boom, it's a disaster. You go here, boom, it's a disaster. What is God trying to tell you? Don't do your own thing, it's always a disaster. Learn eventually that when I go step by step with Him, it always works out. I don't know how it works out, but step by step with Him, it always works out. When I take the matters into my own hand, it's always a disaster. Is this hard? You better believe it. It's the hardest thing. Listen, if Jesus had to learn obedience, Jesus had to learn obedience. You don't think you're going to have to learn obedience? And how are you going to learn it? Through your stupidity and having to suffer. See, here's a great Puritan writer, Thomas Brooks, who understand what humility really was. And here's what he said about it. He says, one of the properties of the humble soul is this. It will quietly bear burdens, patiently take blows and knocks, and make no noise. The humble soul sees God through all the actions of life. Though I have fallen into a pit, this humble soul says, it is free grace that I have not fallen into hell. God is too just to wrong me, too gracious to harm me. Therefore, I will be still and quiet and let Him do what He wills with me. The humble believer looks through all secondary causes and sees the hand of God. Let me just say this. See, God taking the Israelites out of Egypt is similar to God taking you out of the world. Once he gets you out of the world, once you're saved, the project just begins. Because now he's got to take the world out of you. And now he's got to take the self out of you. And where does he do that? He does it in the desert. And what does the desert involve? Well, it can involve two things. I mean, number one, it's a trial. Number one, it's a test. Number one, it's hard. But listen, you can go through this in 40 years, or you can go through it in 40 days. It's up to you to decide how long it takes for you to get through the desert in which God's going to break you. You decide. But let me just say this. Here's the way he does it. He puts something in front of your life that it's so big, it's so awesome, it's so huge that you go like this. I'm going to die. I mean, I can't deal with this. This is too big. This is too enormous. I'm going to die. And listen, and at this point, God wants you to say, you know what? You're really small. You really can't do this. But do this. Reach up to me. Trust me. Even get smaller. And as you get smaller and weaker, I will get bigger and stronger. And you'll eventually learn that I can do this. But you got to face the trial. Remember the Israelites? The first thing that they get when they get out of Egypt is a sea. Is a sea of water, and here comes the Egyptians, and they're coming up behind. You ever feel like this? Here comes your problems. Here comes your trial, and it is going to destroy you. Your financial situation is going to destroy you. This crisis you're in your family is going to destroy you. This whole thing is going to destroy you. And you know you're going to be, and you feel like you're going to be destroyed, and you go, oh God, why? And God is saying, you don't get this yet. You don't understand this yet. Once you look to me and trust in me, I will pick up the staff, I will part the sea for you, and you will begin to learn how to trust me and not trust yourself. So what did God do to the Israelites? They're facing calamity. They say to Moses, Moses, you brought the things just started. Moses, you brought us out here to die. And Moses, of course, hears the voice of the Lord. He raises the staff, the waters part. And you would think by then they would finally say, okay, we can trust God. But they went through 40 years of being faced with trial after trial and never being able to trust God. So, the humble soul eventually gets to the point where they know God's will is good, doesn't matter what the trial is, doesn't matter what happens, and they get to that place where we're like Jesus, this is the goal, Jesus is the goal. Listen, Jesus said this, I can do nothing on my own. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. So humble that even though he's deity, so humble, he says, I can do nothing. Let me ask you this. Are you anywhere near Jesus? And if Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own, how much more does that apply to you? I can do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because what? I do not seek my own, but the will of Him who sent me. Our goal in life is to get to the place where we do nothing on our own, and we always do the will of Him who sent me. When Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days, you know what He was doing? He was going back and showing us how the Israelites missed it, and how when they were tried, they failed, and He's going to show us you can do this in 40 days. Remember the trials He faced? Bread. You got no bread. You got no bread. And what did Jesus say? It doesn't matter. I have the words of my Heavenly Father, and that's what I live by. What should have the Israelites said when they were faced with nothing? They should have said, listen, God, His Word, He will provide, He will provide. That's what Jesus said. Faced with the trials that came from worshiping something other than God. Remember the Israelites, they worshiped the calf. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to worship you, Satan. I'm not going to bow down before you. I don't care what you're going to give me. I'm going to worship the Lord and worship Him only. What you see in Jesus is a 40 days of how you go through trials and how you resist. The greatest trial maybe was, does God care about you, Jesus? Does God care about you, Jesus? Find out if he really cares about you, because I'm not sure you're convinced that he cares about you. Here's what you need to do. Climb up to the top of that pinnacle and jump down, and let's just see if he sends his angels to watch over you and to make sure you don't dash your foot on the ground. Does he really care about you? And what did Jesus say? I'm not going to put the Lord to the test. You know what the Israelites did, their greatest failure? They kept putting the Lord to the test. They kept saying, "You don't care! Do this and we'll be convinced." God does it. "You don't care!" Let me just say this. Listen to me very closely. When we say God doesn't care, we are putting Him to a test. We need to get to the point in our Christian life, no matter what trial we face, we say this: I know He cares, I know He loves me, and I know that this is going to work out for my good. I know it. I'm convinced of it. Humbly walk. Jesus, when He was tempted, passed all those things. Here's what Jesus said about us. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me, and I in him, will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing." Again, we're being brought to that place where we learn how to break ourselves of ourselves and walk under God's anointing. Listen, Peter was a self-willed person who always thought he could do it on his own. Jesus said this to him right before he ascended into heaven. He said to Peter, he says, "Let me tell you, Peter, truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress and carry you where you do not want to go." In other words, Peter, I'm going to get you to the point where you are totally broken and you are going to be able to go where you don't want to go. You were young, you were brash, you did what you wanted, but I'm going to break you. When Paul was broken on the road to Damascus, the first thing God said to him is, "Paul, you think this is going to be an easy road? It's not. I will show him," this is the word given to Paul, "I will show him what he must suffer for my name's sake." God brings us through these trials of suffering so that he will break us, so that we will become totally humble. 1 Peter is where Peter understood this principle. He says, you know, we need to rejoice, for we're going to suffer for a little while if necessary. But after we've been grieved by various trials and tested to find if we have genuineness of faith, he says, then we have something more precious than gold that does not perish. We've been tested by the fire. See, I want to get to that place where I am totally in a place of humility. That means that I have this unction on me. I'm learning to hear God. I'm learning to walk where He wants me to go. The Bible says that this is what it means when we put ourselves under God's mighty hand. See, His hand is always a symbol of His providence, of His guidance, of His strength. I put myself under His providence, under His guidance, under His strength. I will humble myself and put myself under that. Then what happens next is amazing. The Bible says that when we humble ourselves and put ourselves under that mighty hand of God, in proper time, He will exalt you. God is trying to get us to that place where we see ourselves as small, insignificant, and little, and we see Him as enormous. And I believe this, the more we see ourselves in weakness and in smallness, the more we see Him being exalted. This is the goal. So you're telling me that I got to think like Jesus? Yeah. The Bible says that we are to have this mind. That we are to have the mind that was in Jesus, who though He existed in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing. He took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.